Seamless.
Good evening, everyone. For those listening on their holidays in Spain, apparently I'm supposed to introduce myself as Sin Salchicha, but I'm actually Wilma Fingerdoo. And before I was rudely interrupted, I was about to say...
I'm Mia Harkness, also known as La Persona Al Arrepentida. And I am interrupting before I have to make another apology.
I'm Nomus Knockers. Just for him, the one who isn't here, I'm La Sartén Peligrosa. And I'm hoping the first contact team bring back a sample of the alien life form so I can spread it on a Ritz cracker. We don't have cheese now. We also don't have El Masturbado.
I'm glad I don't understand that word, or I'd have to interrupt again.
I'm Sandy Crevice, and for those who really want a disturbed mental image, I'm El Hombre con Arena Entre las Nalgas. And I've been growing microbial life forms in my underwear. Look at these.
Put it away.
Someone get the mop and bucket and the bleach and some paraffin and some matches. Oh, God. The headlines are... Oh, God. Well, this is going well, isn't it?
Seamless.
Dan, and I'm just gonna let it run. Let's have a bong.
Galtwit takes the pee.
Human Thargoid match enters the fourth innings.
Far too hot, too messy breaks all records.
Oh no, as Federation denies aliens exist.
Atreus definitely does exist, and we're hoping he's feeling better after last week. Oh God, I'm doing the voice.
And Hutton Space, nearly as active as Van Tayon on a hot day.
Zach Rackham, eccentric technology billionaire, presidential candidate, onion head user, and of course, president of the Galtwit Corporation, the galaxy's largest, shortest, most overvalued communications platform, has come up with a cunning plan for the social media medium that's big on small messages and small on big ideas. Having taken over Galtwit last year with promise that he'd crack down on that sort of thing and stop cracking down on all that stuff, by firing all the staff and replacing them with pseudo-AI chatbots and moderators, a bit like EDC Galbook pages, its stock value has plummeted and users have been leaving in droves for alternative platforms like Smilodon and Fraid. A core community of keyboard warriors and social commentators have stayed put on his platform, though advertisers have been leaving in droves and spending their money instead on the advertising hoardings outside stations and on orbital concourses. His solution, a rebranding exercise. Not since Federation changed its name from The Tyranny and the Empire from Hooters, has the renaming of a galactically recognised entirely caused a galactically recognised entity caused such an uproar. His design consultant for the rebranding, none other than Hutton's own Alvin DeFeer. Spaniel overlord of all things trucking, and of course, regular thorn in Hudson's paw. The rebranding isn't so much about turning Galtwit's fortunes around as cocking a snook at the Federation using the fluffy belly of one of their nearest neighbours as a wind-up. The new name for Galtwit? Well, after extensive study of Alvin's walkies and how he keeps his nose on the comings and goings of Hutton, he's renamed the company P. Posters on Galtwit now, I've now asked not to twat anymore, they're peeing. You can ask their friends, have you seen my latest pee? I tagged you with my pee earlier. And of course, browsing what used to be Galtwit is now referred to as sniffing. If you're not sniffed, if you've not sniffed the top 1% of pee in the galaxy, can you call yourself a genuine social media guru? Not according to Alvin. Of course, there are rumours that Rackham's taking the pee to extreme levels, but to spaniels with a sensitive nose wanting to keep up to date with all their friends, there's no better way to find the than to find the nearest lamppost and give it a jolly good sniff.
Series is drawn at one win each, with the first being taken by Tharg after winning an innings and eight maelstroms. The second match was taken by Humanity after Alex Zuno managed a score of 6,666,666 declared off 40 overs, and Tharg's opening order crumbled due to the use of the new anti-Zuno wickets deployed by our Hackswing bowling team, and some rather ropey decisions from the Pilots Federation regarding no balls. The third match, despite Humanity putting up an impressive showing in the first innings and taking firm control of the first 2 months, was in danger of being lost as Tharg roped in some googlies from young bowler Glaive. Seems McGinty, night watchman for the Hutton Orbital, he's originally from North Britain, but emigrated to the land of the Merkin people on a sports scholarship, put in a good showing for Humanity in response. In the final innings, middle order batsman Basilisk, paired with Medusa, caused controversy after convincing an umpire that aerial boundaries were worth 8 instead of 6. Rain stopped play on the last day and the match was declared a draw. The fourth match was a bit of a disappointment in the scoring department, with both sides being bowled out for less than a cutter, but Tharg took the honours after a last minute stand by Titan, despite a number of tentacle before wicket calls of "How's that?" by Humanity's bowlers. Heading into the final match of the Smashers, Tharg leads Humanity by 2-1, and only a strong showing by Humanity can prevent the bubble, the Smashers, and of course their pride, being taken back to the Col 70 sector by Tharg the Mighty. With the previous series being won by Humanity as a result of cunning deployment of mycoid tactics, a draw during the current conflict will mean that the humans retain the trophy, and Tharg has to go home to face the gutter press in his, or her, or their, home system, with his, or her, or their, head hung in shame. Mainly as Thargoids have more limbs than humans, better eyes, faster reactions, and of course live an outdoors lifestyle long eschewed by the couch potatoes that inhabit the bubble. They just won't shut up about that time they whitewashed the Guardians on an away tour.
With Too Hot Too Messy sweltering in the heat from the stars of a trinary system, most of the computers having caught fire or melted and many stations having been evacuated to an outbreak of green goo, which could be either blue-green algae caused by the excessive sunshine or a Thargoid attack. The campaign rumbles along as much the same pace as it done in the previous 50 weeks. Entering week 51, El Mas Too Bad, or is still in first place with most of the mugs and gin, followed up by Waller 81. Actually, Waller 81 is catching him up at speed. Could we see a new leader in the next few weeks? That would be exciting. Anyway, Nem's hanging out on in there, as are the other 11 commanders with over 1,000 deliveries. Hutton's approaching the marker of nearly 10 times as many deliveries as any other faction, which is only right and proper. In fact, Hutton have delivered more mugs than all of the other factions put together, which makes the total a smidge under 86,000 stations, orbitals and surface ports who have been declared mods free since this silliness began. In the process, since we started, we have discovered over 75,000 markets that haven't ever had a member of the Pilots Federation visit them. Okay, we knew about them, but no one had popped in for a glass of CMG and a chinwag. So, how do you get your name on the table and get in with a chance of winning a real-life, genuine, mods-preventing Hutton mug? Well, you install the hamster-powered Hutton helper and get to delivering mugs and gins to places that you've never seen before, all tracked by the Hutton helper. And information on how we're doing this is available at hot.forthemug.com. You need to deliver mugs and gin to 10 stations that have never had them before in any given week to be able to have a chance of staying hay fever free. That's a mods-induced allergy. The amount of mugs and gin available in any given visit to Hutton varies depending on what mess the system's in that week. Or you can ask Flossie and she'll bring you one no matter where you are in the galaxy before turning it into a news article and gently ribbing you for something or other. In the meantime, it looks like we've still got 4 years to go before we're done. So, if you've not done deliveries recently, go do some. Bring friends. A couple of thousand more each week and we might actually be done in time to beat the eventual heat death of the Milky Way.
In an effort to curry favour with the moon landings were fake, planets are just discs hanging in space, and Starship Contrails gave me rabies, Brigade, which appear to make up much of the population of orbital stations around Federation space, something to do with what materials that they make the windows out of and how hard the people have been licking them to get their daily moisture intake from the condensation. President Hudson opened a public commission on reports of unidentified flying objects, unknown artifacts, and stuff that, despite having high-grade external cameras and recording equipment like the birds do, always ends up blurry and indistinct. Mostly by military types who've been under a lot of stress or given weird drugs to help them farm combat zones without the need for sleep. The commission, held entirely in public, started with analysis of the very first reports of visitors from alien planets, carved into the inner walls of various ancient civilizations on Earth. That was cats. Then there were the reports from the Merkin people not long after humanity discovered flight, once we'd stopped various world wars, about crashed ships, alien biology recovered from the crash sites, and of course, flying saucers. It was decided that any intelligent species in the galaxy would have not travelled all this way only to crash. Okay, so we do it all the time, usually whilst investigating a high-G world, or rebooting our ship and finding ourselves in freefall over a mountain range whilst trying to deliver mugs to Andran. But the consensus was that aliens would definitely not crash. Then there were the report. Then there were the series of small walls and carvings that had been hitherto credited to the mysterious guardians. After extensive studies of writings by LCU No Fool Like One, presidential candidate and canon representative, it was concluded that they were probably a prank and put there after sleepwalking following ingestion of too much canon avian cheese. When the inquiry was asked how much too much was, their answer was that, as far as they're concerned, any. And finally, and more recently, rumours that aliens had actually invaded were dismissed by the Minister for Tourism that they weren't invading. They were actually here on holiday and had dutifully put their beach towels on the sun loungers before migrating to the local bar and attempting to order Dos Cervezas by holding up two fingers at the barman. When asked why the Federation was pouring money into anti-Xeno activities and whether that made their horribly racist, well, made them horribly racist, Hudson's representative stated that the Ministry of Tourism had hired some security personnel from the military, but there was definitely not an invasion going on, and most of the work was related to working out how to make Thargoids pay tax. The GRS, Galactic Revenue Service, Enforcement Division, is considering confiscating a few Titans as an example to the other maelstroms, and is point-blank refusing to allow deductions for trips to see the barnacles and escape pod salvage operations as viable expenses. When shown a video of a Thargoid scavenger invasion of a settlement, the Minister for Repossession stated that it was just a rather exuberant bunch of Thargoids out on the lash on their summer break, and there was nothing to worry about. Of course, with only the Empire and Alliance taking the Thargoid threat seriously, and therefore their attention elsewhere, the Federation's propaganda machine can carry on unhindered. But for the meantime, the general federal population believes that there's an enormous conspiracy theory, and Hudson's denials are concrete proof that next week there will be an update to shipboard systems and most probably more news on the Thargoids. You just can't read about it in federal systems.
Good evening, Truckers! ITIS 5060 reporting in with the latest updates on the Thargoid War, which isn't a hoax. No matter what windows you've been tasting in the Federation, I've seen things you people would not believe! Like tens on fire off the Aria Maelstrom. Charge cannons glittering in the dark near Cocky Joe. Who's at Cocky Joe? But because of us and our allies, all these moments will be over soon. Like tears after a disappointing birthday present. To no surprise, humanity has had another good week, pushing their Thargoids back on all fronts, with now four Maelstroms having less than 100 systems under Thargoid control. The AX community continues its amazing work of pushing back the Thargoids, with four out of eight Maelstroms having had the number of systems controlled by Thargoids reduced below 100. Ouya currently has 29 systems remaining under Thargoid control, while Tyrannus has 58. Haddad has 65, and Thor, I bet the Thor, has 91 systems remaining under Thargoid control. Each week, these numbers continue to get smaller. I can only read them now. And it will not be long before humanity reclaims more systems for the other Maelstroms to bring the Thargoid control systems to but a handful. It goes without saying that truckers that have, I won't bother saying, oh no, I will, that our very own Hexwing has done his part in helping in this achievement, alongside the monumental exports of Limbo, the Lions, who is the MODE. This past week, congratulations are in order for Hexwing for helping the MODE, or is it MODE, Alliance, clear all the Thargoid alerts near the Indra Maelstrom. And speaking of the MODE, or is it MODE, Alliance, it's time for this week's member profile. No, it's not what you're thinking. This week, we get to know our truckers from another mother, Operation IDA. Or is it IDA? On December 14th, 3303 Humanity experienced the first wave of Thargoid attacks on its orbital stations. Operation IDA, or IDA, was formed exactly 1 month later, in January 3304, to strategically focus repair efforts on these stations in the Pleiades Nebula. Their in-game faction entered the system, Pleiades 8 Sector HRWD1-41, on August 8, 3304. Less than 1 month later, on September 6, 3304, Operation IDA, or is it IDA, gained control of the entire system. With the refinery stations in system Methus Terminal finally under control, OPIDA, or is it OPIDA, was no longer fully dependent on the prosperity of other minor factions to maintain a local source of metals to assist with the repair due to old BGS mechanics. Over the following weeks, OPIDA, OPIDA, as a faction, secured all three of the refineries that existed within 240 light years of the Pleiades Nebula, in a time period where FSD boosters and fleet carriers did not exist. And with limited source of repair supplies in the nebula, the group ensured long distance treks to source different amounts of supplies from the bubble. 1 year and 3 months after the Pleiades was first attacked, Operation IDA, or is it IDA, completed the repair of all stations in the Pleiades, some of which had been damaged multiple times, as well as had their repair amounts changed three different times during that time. The repair match per station throughout the year raised anywhere from 8 million to 23 million tonnes from the beginning, and eventually settled down to around 250k to 1.5 million tonnes. Over the next few years, Operation IDA, or is it IDA, would go on to repair every station in the bubble, as well as re-attack stations in the Pleiades, Witchhead and Coalsack Nebula, totalling 219 out of the 276 repairable stations. How much of this is there? Jeez! When this new Thargoid war kicked into gear around the closing of 3308, it demonstrated to the community that this fight would not be short and most definitely would not be easy. A network of communications started to develop, partly from necessity and partly from desperation, as players looked for the most good they could do in a losing battle. On one side, it was quite refreshing for OPIDA, or is it OPIDA, or is it Operation IDA, or is it Operation IDA, had to be given a new challenge with unknown variables. But on the other side, it was devastating to morale to find that station repairs had become automatic with the new war mechanic. In turn, the group faced this adversity head-first by adapting as well as being diverse, taking part in AX combat flying, along with pilots from AXI, or is it AXI, and Marauders Vanguard, as well as moving passengers and offering a friendly salute to post-disaster evacuation service pilots as we fly by in the mail slot. What a wonderful group of pilots, and Hexwing is proud to fly alongside them. Let's continue to support our fellow MODE, or is it MODE, Alliance members in their efforts. Oh God. The orders this week, Hexwing, will be to clear the Thargoid alerts of the following systems. HIP 20485, HIP 20948, HR 1403, HRP again, 19757, S65 Kappa Tori. See you on the front line, commanders! For the man!
Okay, it's easy. What you do is go to hot.forthemug.com and look on the left-hand side. There's a button there that says System Health. Click it. If it has an exclamation mark next to it, then stay away from that system. Way too high. We don't want it to expand into the nearest maelstrom. That would be bad. Conversely, if you see a stylized dog bone next to a system name, Alvin wants you to bring treats there and make it all better. You'll also see low numbers next to the system name. Then, of course, odd things happen sometimes. If you click on Active States, it will tell you about the four horse people of the BG Apocalypse, and if any of them have popped in for a glass of something in one of our systems. Like the election in 36 off Uchi. Some nutters decided that we shouldn't be in charge, so go kiss some babies. Or claim that they're expanding the ULEZ zone into this system, and that's why Hutton should stay in charge. We don't want one of those by-election nights where we have to sulk and they get to say how they'll make off Uchi great again. That's Mogga. As Mogs are cats, and with the exception of Mooncake, we're dog people. Mooncake's an honorary dog anyway. Mainly, she's not a cat, she's a tiger. Totally different. Anyway, if you want something to do, find the bony ones and do stuff to help. Ignore the exclamation-y ones, and for goodness sake, don't get caught with skeletons in your closet and end up losing us the election in 36 off Uchi. Over in Colonia? Yeah, it looks like we've got an election in Tyr, but we're not sure whether we wanted to win or lose on that one. So if you see a hanky clone online when you're in your ship, ping him a message and he'll let you know.